The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. Today is Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av, the solemnest day on the Jewish calendar, which doesn't mean that you have to be sitting in dirt and crying the whole time, and we'll show you how this week. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with Lifeline's Dr. Cheryl Greenberger, has started a support group for teens who are survivors of cancer called Our Mission. We have some words of inspiration about Tisha B'Av, since we're not supposed to be talking about the portion of the week, which is the portion of Ve'es Chani, which is found in chapter 3 and further in the book of Deuteronomy. We do have a Hasidic story. I'd like to tell Hasidic stories today. In the second half of the hour, we will be featuring our poet laureate, Michael Druck, who will be reading a Tisha B'Av poem, which I told him I wanted something somber and upbeat. We have a couple of a cappella pieces for you to listen to, but before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. ...18-year-old Tyler Spencer and four others are facing an assortment of charges for three anti-Semitic attacks on Camp Bonim in the Poconos in Pennsylvania, the Jewish camp. Spencer rode his pickup at high speeds through the camp, destroying sports fields, shooting paintballs at campers, and broke the leg of one of the counselors. The European Union turned down a request by Israel to blacklist Hezbollah as a terrorist group after last week's bombing in Bulgaria. I wonder what they're thinking. Actually, they're not thinking. Cypriot Foreign Minister Arato Kazakomarkoulias, whose country currently holds the rotating EU presidency, said that there is no consensus for putting Hezbollah on the list of terrorist organizations. Okay. Israel blames Iran and Hezbollah for last week's suicide attack at the Black Sea airport of Burgas, in which five Israelis and the Bulgarian driver were killed. The Pentagon has come to an agreement with Lockheed Martin to integrate Israeli components in the new F-35 fighter jet. The jet will replace the F-16. 14, this is weird. I really would like to do some follow-up on this one. I just haven't been able to find it. 14 Israelis were indicted for the illegal importation of agricultural products from the Palestinian Authority area, including 10 million eggs. Importing eggs from the PA to Israel is illegal because the eggs are not inspected and are generally considered unsafe and unsanitary. Those indicted were part of a large network of agricultural product smugglers seeking to take advantage of the far lower prices of fruits, vegetables, and especially eggs in the PA. One PA resident was named in the indictment as the agent for PA farmers who made the arrangements with Israeli smugglers. According to the Israeli government census, more than 350,000 Jews are living in the West Bank settlements, a 4.5 increase over last year, a 5% increase in 1 year in one area. 57 graves were desecrated in a Jewish cemetery in Kfaspar, Hungary. Damage sustained is estimated at €12,000. Local police have launched an investigation. Some interesting news about the Olympics. Next, through three pieces, we talk about the Olympics. A Hasidic Jewish young man by the name of Ephraim Goldstein carried the Olympic torch on Monday. He has worked with seven charities and runs a soup kitchen. Goldstein carried the Olympic torch 330 meters in southeast London. The 22-year-old carried the torch in memory of the 11 Israelis who were massacred at the Munich Olympics in 1972. The International Olympics Committee, which includes more than 40 Muslim representatives, has refused to allow the opening ceremony to include a 1 minute of silence in memory of the murdered athletes. In response to that, more than 20,000 people around London held a moment of silence for the Israeli athletes massacred at the 1972 Olympics. We will now have a moment of silence for those people massacred at the Berlin Massacre: David Berger, Zev Friedman, Yosef Gottfried, Eliezer Halfin, Yosef Romanu, Amitzur Shapiro, Kahat Shur, Mark Slavin, Andre Spitzer, Yaakov Springer, Moshe Weinberg, as well as those massacred in the Bulgarian bus bombing last week: Meir Harush, Elior Price, Yitzhak Kalanji, Amir Menashe, Kochav Shriki, and Mustafa Kiyosov, and as well as those people who were massacred in Colorado and Aurora, Jessica Guari, Veronica Moser Sullivan, Matt McQuinn, Alex Sullivan, Mikhail Medic, John Larimer, Jesse Childress, Gordon Cowden, Jonathan Blunk, Rebecca Ann Wingo, Alexander Tavis, and Alexander Boyk. A moment of silence. And finally, for the first time, an Orthodox Jewish woman is running for office in the New York State Senate. 22-year-old Mindy Meyer, a law student from Brooklyn, is running for the Republican platform against Democratic State Senator, the incumbent Kevin Parker. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online Dr. Cheryl Greenberger, who's with Chai Lifeline, an organization she's started called Our Mission. How are you today, Dr. Greenberger?
Thank God I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank God. We had Chai Lifeline on about a year ago after the Levi Klutsky thing and the sad thing that happened there, and then the response that seemed to Chai Lifeline seemed to like step up to the front. And I see that Chai Lifeline, looking at the website, is like all over the place. Could you tell us, before we start talking about our mission, if you could tell us a little bit about Chai Lifeline?
Sure. Chai Lifeline started over 25 years ago with the main goal of helping families that had a child who had cancer. Since then, we've grown to start helping families with children who have chronic illness. We have become really a source for comfort, a source for resources, and for services to people who have all types of different illness and related, you know, concerns and issues. And we've helped many, many, many families throughout the years get through very difficult times. We've also have a crisis and bereavement department, which, like you mentioned with the case of Levi Klutsky, we were able to go out to the communities and help communities deal with, like I said, very difficult situations, crisis situations, and be able to help people get through things that they never thought imaginable.
Okay.
That's really the goals of Chai Lifeline.
Yeah, I would assume you're more than just a shoulder to cry on.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely try to do some direct service, give people transportation to their medical appointments. We give food to the home. We try to really help them continue their everyday lives while going through these difficult situations.
Okay. Is Chai Lifeline just the New York metropolitan area?
No, absolutely not. We have regional offices throughout the world, including Israel, including London, including across the United States. You know, a Midwest office, a West Coast office. We have all over, really. All over the world, we have people who are affiliated with Chai Lifeline.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're familiar with Camp Simcha, I'm assuming, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Our most proudest moment is Camp Simcha.
Go ahead. Explain about the Camp Simcha just briefly.
Camp Simcha, again, started as a camp for children who are going through cancer treatments. And then we began doing Camp Simcha Special, which was a program for children who have chronic illnesses, who cognitively are all there, yet in some way they're fighting some sort of illness, whether that causes them to have a physical handicap or in some way doesn't allow them to go to a regular camp. And this gives them the opportunity to feel like all their friends and all the people they know at home and go to a camp where they can have fun and they can have a great summer and have a two-week period. We have, at this point, four different sessions a summer. We have a girls' cancer session, a boys' cancer session, and then a boys' and a girls' session for those with chronic illness.
Mm-hmm. Chronic illness would be something like cystic fibrosis, that kind of stuff?
Yes, cystic fibrosis, familial dysautonomia, cerebral palsy. We have many, many different diagnoses.
Okay.
Some kids who are really one child in their entire community or one child in the entire world who has these type of diseases.
Okay. Now, so I received an email, a big splash about our mission. And it seems to be this, the way it was presented as a just a stupendous project, earth-shattering, and really something that's innovative and really doing wonderful things, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg. So could you tell us about our mission?
Sure. Our mission started by realizing that there was a need that wasn't really being fulfilled, especially in the Jewish community. We had many kids and children who had gone through our program and who had gotten a lot of support from us, whether, again, direct services or whether just that emotional support while they were undergoing treatment. Their families as well had all that support, and yet when they completed treatment, they felt a little bit isolated, a little bit like they're now supposed to go back and return to normal life and whatever that means, and yet it wasn't as easy as everyone seemed to make it out. And they realized that we realized with them that this was a very difficult time in their lives, that transitional period, and there was no real help for them. And so what the idea for our mission began is to really try and help these families transition back to their normal, create a normal, and give them opportunities to connect with other people who have been through similar experiences and connect to other people who can understand them and relate to them, that even close family members, friends, even those who had been with them throughout treatment couldn't necessarily understand and couldn't necessarily relate to.
Okay, so let me just, if I could reiterate. So when teens or, is this children also or just teens we're talking here?
We really started the program at this point. We're starting with, you know, teens and up. But, you know, where it goes, who knows? But at the moment, we're looking at teens and up.
So there's a support base, and everybody can understand why a child, a teen that is suffering through cancer, for example, needs to have this psycho-emotional support. But once the kid has been declared, okay, you're fine, you're cancer-free, you're just like a normal person right now, suddenly it was realized that the resilience that children are supposed to have wasn't so resilient, Dr. Greenberg?
No, not necessarily that they're not resilient, but that, you know, they do go back to normal in some way, but at the same time, this experience has changed them. This experience has not necessarily damaged them in any way, but it's changed them. It's made them into somebody who maybe has different values. Maybe they have different thoughts and ideas now. They've gone through something that most people around them can't necessarily, haven't necessarily experienced and can't necessarily understand. And so when they've gone through this, it's not that they only want to obviously be with cancer survivors, but they want other people in their lives that once in a while they can talk to and say, talk about what they've been through or talk about some of the challenges that they're now having and have someone who can say, yeah, I get that. That was really what was most important to them, is just to have somebody else who can say, you know, I hear you or I understand. And that's not something that we necessarily always have. You know, for some of these children, like I had said, they might be the one child in their class or the one, you know, one or two children in their school who had ever had cancer. And so to have, another group of people, you know, in Camp Simcha, we saw how important it was for the, you know, children who are going through treatment to have that support network and to have people around them that, you know, understood them. And so, too, we're hoping with our mission to kind of continue that level of support and continue that feeling of, you know, of people around them who can relate.
Okay. Now, I've counseled people that have gone through cancer, and older people, adults, and very often, more often than not, the person, while they're sitting there getting their treatments in whatever form it happens to be, have this epiphany, you know, there are things in my life I didn't get done. And then faced with this, like, you know, getting mortality thrown at them, have decided, well, I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. Do teenagers get that too?
Absolutely. They do definitely get some sort of a bucket list, if you want to say, that they start, you know, forming of all the things that now I'm going to have this new perspective and I'm going to do, and I'm going to conquer some fears that I had, or I'm going to try and be more adventurous or whatever it is. There's definitely a feeling of also of paying it forward, of trying to make meaning out of what they've been through and trying in some way to give back to the community. So whether it's now they want to try and help other cancer survivors or whether they want to help people who are going through treatment or in some way give back and show thanks for what they've been through, we definitely see some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
In both young adult, you know, in young adults and in those who are older.
Mm-hmm. Understood. My wife, Han, is a breast cancer survivor, and she coined a phrase that probably, I know she would have originated if she heard it, but she uses the expression the new normal after mm-hmm. that she's been in remission now for, thank God, since 2005. So is it a new normal, Dr. Greenberg?
It's definitely a new normal. You know, I think that a lot of people expect that after treatment's over, someone's going to go back and kind of fit right into that same place in the world that they were before they were diagnosed. And I think in the same way that a mother who has had a child can never be the same person she was before that child, I think, you know, a person who's gone through something like cancer treatments and a cancer diagnosis is not the same person they were before either. And so do I think they're normal? 1,000%. But I think that the situation is going to be a little bit different. Things are going to be a little bit different, whether it's, again, their perspective, whether it's their appreciation for life, whether it's, you know, more practically and physically, that there have been some changes physically in their bodies and in their since treatment. You know, there's a lot that changes, and yet there is that push to go back to being who they were. But again, mm-hmm. just slightly different.
Yeah, you're segueing into my next question. Our guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Dr. Cheryl Greenberger, who is with Chai Lifeline, a program of Our Mission, which deals with teenagers who are in remission from cancer. Could you tell us, Dr. Greenberg, some of the challenges that cancer-surviving teenagers may face, whether it be like peer pressures or whether it be psychological pressures within themselves or physical things that they may encounter?
Sure. I think that one of the things that we've noticed, actually, pretty early on when they enter that survivorship program or that time in their lives, you know, we had said that many survivors feel this appreciation for life and this feeling of, you know, there's a whole new set of values and a whole new set of appreciation and feeling thankful. Many survivors actually start to feel guilty as well. You know, maybe they're not feeling thankful enough. Maybe they're not feeling enough appreciation. Start to feel a little bit of survivor guilt, which is something maybe a feeling of, why was I the one who was chosen to survive when so many of my friends were not? And so that's one of the challenges they go through that, again, many people around them might not completely understand and feel, oh, you know, why feel that? Don't feel guilty. You shouldn't be feeling guilty. And yet, you know, when they speak to another survivor who can say, I understand that survivor guilt, you know, that's very helpful for them. Some of the other issues are just more practical. They may have some challenges of fertility. They may have some challenges related to dating, to marriage. They may have some issues of just being tired, more tired. And so when they want to go back to school now or they want to go back to work, you know, they're not feeling 100% up to par of their peers at the moment. Again, some of these things obviously go away as time goes on, but some of these things are real challenges for those survivors, especially, you know, more closely after they finish treatment.
Mm-hmm. I know when people come to me and they complain about the guilt that they have of why did I survive, I can't tell that person, don't feel guilty. It doesn't work.
Absolutely
because that
not.
Just
nope.
that just raises just makes them angry because you have no mm-hmm. idea what I went through. And it, how so tell us, what does Our Mission do for teenage survivors of cancer?
Well, I think one of the things that we're trying to show with Our Mission is that each person has their own mission. And each person has their own job. You know, as Jews, we believe that everything happens for a reason, that there's a reason that everybody, that someone goes through what they go through. And so part of what we're trying to tell people with Our Mission is that take your experiences and do something with them, whatever that mission is that you decide for you is your mission. And so, you know, perhaps with this idea of survivor guilt, that there is a reason that you were chosen to be the one who survived. We can't say why it was not chosen for somebody else, but for you there is some reason, and that you should take that and find your own mission. Find your own mission in life and find your own mission, whether it has something to do with what you've been through or not, whether it has something to do with your cancer experience or not. Find your own mission in life and go with it. Really, you know, make something of your life and make something of who you are.
I mean, I tell that to everybody all the time. That's just for cancer survivors.
Absolutely. That's for everybody. We all have our own missions, and we all need to go out there and make something of ourselves.
Okay. So what exactly are the programs for, if you could describe, a name has been recommended to you. There's a teen that maybe you've been involved with through their treatment phase, and now the doctors have said, you're good to go. What happens now, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg?
Okay, so what we have right now for Our Mission, one of our big things that we have that reaches across all areas geographically is our website, ourmission.org, which really is meant to be that support community for cancer survivors and their families. And we have on there forums, places where people can ask for advice. They can gain some support and comfort from others. They can, you know, just vent or say something that happened, a challenge, something that they're dealing with that day. We have different forums set up for different categories, meaning different age groups, different cancer types. We have for people who have just finished treatment versus those who are a little bit longer off treatment. We also will have new things added constantly to that website, as well as ways of joining different communities and groups and finding others who have had similar experiences to you, which that is coming soon, like a search engine so you can find other people who are within your age group, within your cancer diagnosis, and again, to be able to connect to those people. We also have a lot of resources on there, including different places where you can get scholarships for post treatment, places where you can have help with fertility issues, other organizations that help survivors deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with, is all on that website, ourmission.org. Furthermore, we do have some events that we hold. You know, at the moment, we've been started in New York, and therefore some of our events are being held in New York, but we are definitely looking to expand to different areas and different communities. We're happy to open up different chapters in different areas, assuming there's a desire and a need and a want from that community. You know, we're hoping that our mission really is a organization that's for survivors by survivors. You know, we want it to be something that addresses the unique needs of survivors and that really comes from what they want. We want, you know, survivors to come and tell us what it is that they're looking for, what they need, and if they want to come help, you know, spearhead something and run with it, we're very happy for that, you know, for them to do that.
Okay.
In their own communities, in their own neighborhoods, in their own areas.
That's terrific. Now, let's talk about the name, Our Mission. I know that it may sound trite, but it really is an important thing. If you're starting an organization, or starting specifically if it's a service organization, you want to get people's attention. So you have to pitch something that's back in CB radio land. I don't remember if you're old enough to remember CB radios, but the name was called The Handle. Like, what's your handles? What's your name? It's like, how are people going to grab on it? The significance, obviously, our mission is a takeoff of remission, of course, and then our mission being, well, this is what our mission is. But how did we come up with this name, and what other, I don't know if you could say what other names were knocked around, and why specifically did we call it? Or did you call it Our Mission?
Well, we had many names. There were names such as Us at one point, you know, just to kind of give a feeling of community.
That website's taken already, though.
Yeah, there are many websites that we've taken, that were taken, many names that were thrown around before we actually got to one. We wanted a name, really, that gave off a feeling of hope and a feeling of moving forward and moving on from this situation, but recognized that what you had been through was really a significant thing, and it wasn't something that you could ever totally move past, and it wasn't something that you actually were hoping to just close the door on, that it really, what you've been through has made you who you are today. And so we were hoping to use something that, again, was a play on word of remission, so that it showed, you know, a person's stage of life and that they have gone through something, that they are at this point where they're, Baruch Hashem, in remission, at the same time that it is spurring them to have their own mission and to have something to look forward to and to continue on with. And so that's really how we got to the idea of Our Mission. You know, again, the play on words of remission and the play on word of our mission and what is each of our missions in life.
Okay, just one final question, Dr. Cheryl Greenberg of High Lifeline, Our Mission. What does Our Mission need from all the people out there in Radioland?
We need definitely your support. We need help spreading the word that this exists so that no survivor should ever feel that they are alone with this anymore. You know, especially within the Jewish community, we want people to feel there is a place that they can go to where they have people who understand. So spreading the word is definitely of importance. Registering for the website, if you yourself are a cancer survivor or have a family member who's a cancer survivor, get involved in the discussions that are going on in the forums. Get involved in giving advice. If you yourself don't have a question, answer somebody else's. Give somebody else some advice. Give somebody else some strength and some support and some comfort in some of the struggle that they might be going through. That's definitely helpful. And if you have more time on your hands and you want to help volunteer to start a chapter in your area, we are happy to help you help you do that. So we are always looking for people to call us to with their suggestions and call us if they want to get more involved and more active. The number that I can be reached at any time is 212-894-8259. Again, that number is 212-894-8259. Or I can always be reached at C. Greenberger, G-R-E-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R, at r-mission.org. And again, we're happy to hear everyone's suggestions, everyone's ideas. And if people want to be involved, we're very happy to have them be involved.
Okay, that's great. Dr. Greenberg, could you give us the website one more time?
r-mission.org. R as in the letter r-mission.org.
Okay, that's terrific. We want to thank you so much for coming on and wish you success with your valuable work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park is something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have some music for you. Last time we played, a couple of weeks ago, we played a CD from this group. I referred to it incorrectly as the Y Studs and was really kind of wondering why did this group call themselves Studs, but I mispronounced it. I was corrected. It's the Y Studs because this is Yeshiva University Students Choir. And if you shorten that into like text speak, it becomes the Y Studs. It says that the reason why the Second Temple was destroyed was because of a lack of friendliness to one another. People didn't like each other. A lack of Ahavat Yisrael. And this song is called Ahavat Yisrael. Let's listen in. It's just for you.
כל יום מחדש הלב נשבר, כל יום מחדש אולי מחר, מתי הגאולה? בכל יום שיגיע והנה, הנה זה בא אהבת ישראל בנשמה כל בוקר ציון אלך אני מתפלל Shan Shomer Israel Kol yom mechadash Ani
אני מאמין ואין אמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח בארץ ישראל של עבר בכל יום שיגיע והנה זה בא אהבת ישראל בנשמה
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It is the 3 weeks when playing music is limited, and it's become a tradition 17 years. It's not been 17 years. It's probably been about, Michael, how many years are we doing this that we have Michael Druck, our poet laureate, coming on the show?
About 17 years, yes.
And so it's a tradition here. And I gave Michael, since the show was aired on Tisha B'Av, I gave Michael a challenge that I wanted something that would be suitable for Tisha B'Av, meaning a somber poem. But since in the Hasidic philosophy, we do everything upbeat, so I wanted a poem that was somber and upbeat. Are you up for the challenge, Michael?
I have just the one.
Okay, let's hear. If you could talk a little bit up, please. Talk a little louder.
Are we ready?
Go ahead.
Binyamin was a chimney sweep. A chimney sweep was he who left a notebook of sayings for the world to read and see. He lived in a place called Vilna and collected from all he read holy books, Torah books, and with words the sages said. He collected character traits that he gleaned from various books and left it all when the Cossacks came. He fled with clothes he took. Time was the essence as it was, and it is now time to learn Torah and let the memory of Binyamin live and show you how. And if you ever go to Vilna and tour the ancient rooms, you might find a notebook somewhere in a crevice hidden beneath the moon. Let the light show you where. Search and you will see a glimmer of Benjamin where Torah is supposed to be.
Okay. Okay, I get the somberness and the upbeatness. That's a good deal. Is it based on something true, Michael Druck?
It is.
Tell us the story behind it, please.
Well, it's basically...
And how do you know about this Benjamin?
I was reading about Vilna in a book about a rabbi who lived there, a very famous rabbi, and I can't think of his name off the bat. But one of the people who was in the who lived in the community of Vilna was Benjamin, who was a chimney sweep, and who collected sayings and notebooks and notes from every sage that he could. And the Russians came, and everybody left. And Benjamin left just with the clothes on his back. He had to hurry out of there. And he left his book behind, I guess. No one has ever found it, but there's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Is this pre-World War II or after World War II? Because the Russians were in Lithuania all the time.
Yeah, this is pre-World War II.
Okay. Very good. Okay, I've been waiting for 17 years for the collected works of Michael Druck. And last time we had you on, you said that it was in the works. Are we any closer, Michael Druck?
We are still seeking a publisher. I have several people who are working with me to self-publish this somehow. There is a magazine called Jewish Magazine or JewishMag.com, and they're publishing my poems, in fact, one of the poems. My last two issues of this JewishMag.com has my poems in it.
Okay.
And if you go back in the repertoire of that that magazine, they'll show you there's a lot of my poems that they publish.
Oh, terrific. Okay. So now you can tell your mother you are indeed published.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Okay. I want to wish you, without being glib, you know, we say that Tisha B'Av, which is the black day of the Jewish calendar, that when Mashiach comes will be the greatest holiday, based on the idea that from the light that comes from darkness is a greater light than light which emanates from light. And the darkness will illuminate and become total good. So I wish people a freilich and Tisha B'Av. You should have a happy Tisha B'Av. The Mashiach should have already come before this Tisha B'Av is done.
Thank you. And by the way, the name of that rabbi is Rabbi Chaim Ozer.
Oh, okay. Ozer. Gorodetsky.
Yeah, yes. If you read his biography published by published in New York, they mention the chimney sweep. And his notebooks.
Okay, terrific. Well, that'll do us. And we'll talk to you next time, Reb Michael.
Thank you. Have a happy holiday.
Take care. We're going to take a quick...
meaningful one.
Indeed. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hello, this is Frank Lebosco with Lebosco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach at 248-613-1804. 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. That is such a good commercial. I have to thank my production staff for putting that together with Lisa Cohen. And if you want to feel better, you're feeling out of balance, out of sorts, or want to feel better, Lisa Cohen is the person to contact at lisacohnayurvedic.com. We have some music for you. This is an upbeat, a somber, upbeat piece, and it's called We Stand As One. This is the Kol Zimra Choir. Let's listen in.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Today is Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av. And as we mentioned, we are not going to talk about the portion of the week, which is Ve'eschanan, which can be found in chapter 3, verse 23. of the book of Deuteronomy. And the reason why we're not going to talk about that, and we are going to talk about Tisha B'Av, has to do with the laws of Tisha B'Av. This is a day which is commemorated for the spies coming back from Israel with a bad report, and the Jews believing their bad report, with the final resultant being 40 years of wandering in a desert with the generation that left Egypt dying in the desert. That was what started it. The first and second temple were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The city of Beitar, which is happened, I think, about the year 150, put up a resilient fight against the Roman conquerors. This is a major metropolis, and the Romans finally went in and massacred the city after a three-year battle. And it says that the blood flowing down the mountain, which today Tar is located on a mountain, was so deep that the horses had to wade through it. And in addition to that, the Romans absolutely refused, because of this payback that they wanted to teach a lesson. They said that the dead of Beitar could not be buried. They had to stay there. It is also the day on which the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492. It is also the day that Franz Josef of Sarajevo was assassinated, starting the beginning of World War I. Which, as any historian, sociologist knows, that World War I was the direct cause for World War II. And we know what happened to the Jewish people during World War II. So all of this is memorialized on this fast day. Last night, it began last night at dark. And we commemorate it by sitting on low benches as a mourner does, at least until about 1:30 today. Last night we read the book of Jeremiah wrote, called the Book of Lamentations, which he composed upon coming back to Jerusalem and seeing it in destruction. We fast for the full 25 hours, which means no food or water or brushing teeth or any of that type of stuff. We do not bathe at all, which means no perfume or any of that type of stuff either. We do not wear proper shoes. I am wearing Chuck Taylor Converses, white ones, of course, the natural kind. You could be fasting and still be classy, you know. So, but anyway, we do not engage in marital relations. And in addition to that, we don't learn Torah, because Torah makes a person feel good. I've often said a day without Torah is a day without sunshine. Not like, but a day without sunshine. If I don't learn a day, it's because I'm sick and I can't. I don't remember, thank God, the last day I didn't learn something. And I can thank the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who instituted the daily learning of Rambam, Maimonides, three chapters a day. That keeps me in focus, along with the daily portion of the Chumash, so that we finish it in the course of the week, and the Tanya, so that we finish it in the course of a year, and then Gemara, so that we finish one of those in a year. So there's what to learn. The first temple was destroyed because if you look in the book of Kings 2, all of the atrocities that were going on, and reading the prophecies scattered through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and throughout the 12 minor prophets, Micah and Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, etc., they describe there the atrocities that were involved. Idolatry was rampant, murder, incest, adultery, thievery, cutthroating, jealousy. Reading it makes people wonder, which people are we talking about? These are Jews? Jews don't act like that. Back then, they acted like that. And God said, that's it. No more temple. I don't want any part of this people anymore. When you learn how to behave, I'll let you back in. It only took 70 years. The time that the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar until Dariavish II allowed it to be rebuilt was a period of 70 years. The second temple was destroyed because we weren't getting along with each other. It's taken, and that was in the year 70. It's more than 1,900 years since the temple was destroyed, and we're waiting for the Mashiach to build the third temple in the exact spot that the first two temples were, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Because it took 70 years to stop killing, stealing, being jealous, and committing adultery. It's taken us more than 1,900 years, and unfortunately, we're still not getting along. Speaking of getting along, we've got to get along because we've got commercial breaks to take. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I got a story for you. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. You'll find there archived editions of the show. You'll be able to contact me right there on the homepage. The E-Parsha, which are insights into the portion of the week in a Hasidic story that I send out every week via the internet to 14,000 people. You could sign up and get it delivered to your mailbox as well. There's also the Hasidic U stories and Hasidic U-Parsha, which is videos of yours truly and insights that you find on YouTube, and the all-important donation page. We need your help. It's the end of July. We haven't paid for July yet. Just had a nice talk with the station manager. Told him maybe we'll get July and August together. We need the money to come up with, people. We need your help. We've been on the air 17 years, and we need your help to keep the show going. Every week we do the same thing. Every week different people come through. It's with God's graces that we're on, and it's with your help. So do it today. Go to rabbifinman.com. And go to the donations page and give us a donation. Like to do it the regular old way, write out a check or money order, mail it to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And I guarantee you will be blessed for it. This story happened post-World War II. There was a Rebbe called the Kapitznitzer Rebbe, who lived in the Lower East Side following World War II. And he did everything he could to help the Sharis HaPleita, the refugees. There were some people that finally came over, and a man came through, but his wife was sick, and they were not going to let her into the country. They were going to send her back to Europe, back to the DP camps. And this man went to the Kapitznitzer and said, Rebbe, I need help. Please help me. He's crying. They're going to send my wife back. So he said, I promise you that they will not send your wife back. And the man left. He was very happy. And someone asked him, how could you make such a promise? This is the Kapitznitzer. He took out a book of Psalms, and he sat down on a chair. And he began saying the book of Psalms written by King David, crying between the words, please, God, don't make me a liar. I only made the promise because I saw that this person, he said he was willing to kill himself if his wife has to get sent back. To save this anguish that the Jew was having, I made this promise, don't make me a liar. And he sat there for an hour crying, saying this with the words of Tillim. And 2 weeks later, the woman was indeed allowed into the country. That is going to do it for the week. We hope you have a good week. This is After Tisha B'Av, things pick up. We have Tu B'Av coming up next week. Well, so maybe we'll have time. We'll have a chance to talk about that a bit. We hope you have a good week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. And we hope to see you again back next week. Take care.